We have kind of like a spreadsheet that we did. So, if you'd like that.
Sure, yeah, no problem. Yeah, that'd be
Okay.
good.
All right. Well, we're all really excited and looking forward to it, and
Yeah.
more and more people are trickling in saying, "Can we come? Can we come?" So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's anticipating it trying to get up to speed, so we'll understand the language you speak. This heavenly language, you know.
Yeah.
We actually used your one of your preparing for the journey sessions last night, because we were studying about the angels. And so in your second one, you did you went into it pretty in depth, and had some lists and everything. So we were using that to go through and study about them and learn about those that are part of our team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
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 Now, one question that did come up was, the canopy of angels, the 10 layers. I know we have all the names, and you even had some scriptures for some of them, and what they were called. Who came up with those names, or where do you get? I mean, are those Hebraic names, or is that from Hebrew, the oral law, the tradition? Or I know
Well,
the
yeah.
Catholic stream of the church has something similar to that, but yeah.
Well, the actual Hebrew accurate translation of that canopy of angels comes directly from the Hebrew language. So,
Ah.
the seraphim and the cherubim and the different things. There's a direct translation out of the Hebrew language, and those different words are translated different forms of angels. So, when you actually look at the Hebrew, the English translator translates most of them as angels or different things. Whereas if you look at the original, they are different names. And so that's why I put the scriptures into the thing to show actually each of these actually do have a scripture where in the Hebrew that is what those things were called. So the Ophanim and the different names of Chaoth, that they are actually the Hebrew words.
Ah, okay.
But in the Hebrew oral tradition, there is the orders and the different heads of those orders are contained in some of the Hebrew oral tradition, and some of that is written down, and so you can do sort of research it, and you can find some of those things. I think Ian had some direct revelation from a Prince Warring Angel when he was in London, I think he said, that put a lot of it together. In terms of that sort of full pattern, but they are there in scripture. It's just not apparent in the English, other than for, well, things like seraphim are, because that is often translated seraphim and cherubim, cherubim. But often, the Ben Elohim and those ones, they usually translated something to make it easier to understand, I guess, but in the original Hebrew, that they were known for classes of angels, and the church has been hindered in understanding it because of this edict that was made in the Dark Ages that said you can't talk about any angels' names that aren't mentioned specifically in the Bible as names of them. So we've got Michael and we've got Gabriel and that's pretty much about it, really, other than Lucifer. So there's limit. But then they weren't really about their names. I mean, obviously you've got Watcher Angels and you've got different their description of what they do is mentioned, but their specific name, you know, so Seraphim is not a name of an angel, it's the name of an order of angels. But then each of those angels has a name. You know, every one of them are named, and they all have different names. Yeah, hence, you know, all those that are assigned to our lives, and they've all got names that we can engage with. And it is important to engage with the name of if you want full interaction. And they're usually only too happy to tell you their names. You know, most of them aren't a secret. but it is one of those things that we've been warded off, you know, warned off from. And the enemy has done a really good job in creating religious doctrines and things that hinder us from the fullness of those ministering spirits that should be fully active in every area of our life. You know? And we're just rediscovering some of what that means, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, about knowing their order to fully engage with them. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So now when we meet angels, we ask for their name, we ask what their purpose and what order they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, sometimes it's really obvious when they're burning with fire in front of you. when they're colored shining lights, you know, it's quite obvious what they are. You know, and the Elohim and the Ben Elohim tend to look like people. You know, they're not with great big wings and different things. You know.
Yeah.
But,
one other question that did come up last night was this whole issue of commanding angels.
Yeah.
Because Ian does in one of the sessions where he talks about angels, he asks the question, "Are you a son of God?" And everybody says, "Yes." Well, then you can command angels. Whereas, you know, we know, I mean, I think I know what he meant by that, but give me your interpretation of what you know, how are we actually supposed to engage with them as far as, like, commanding them?
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends what order we're talking about, and whether they are, you know, our guardian angels and those assigned as ministering spirits. They're there to serve us. Now, what master has a problem directing a servant to do something? None, because it was obvious that that's what the servants were there to do. You know, so that is the basic understanding. They're there as ministering spirits to serve us. So why wouldn't we direct them? Now some of it comes to, you know, there are some pretty powerful angels and different orders of angels.
I have had
a few problems with things dropping out, so if I do, just wait and I'll come back in. Right? You know, so we don't direct those angels that are not assigned to us or associated with our ministry, or we go and get a mandate to work with, because we have no authority over them. But we do have authority over those that are, you know. And so I think it's important to understand that there's protocol. You know, I think that this is the key. There is protocol in the realms of heaven and with the angelic order, and you need to operate according to protocol. You know, I wouldn't go into a chancellor's court with a chancellor's area and tell them what to do. But when I was given a chancellor's seal, it gave me insight into how they operate and how we're called to operate. And I do believe that there are roles that are being fulfilled by angels or or creatures in the realm of heaven and heavens that should be being performed by us. And so, you know, the Bene Elohim caretake our mountains until we're maturing to come onto them. And there are other, I believe, orders of angels that are operating because we're not yet. And I think Satan looked into, on the firestones, looked into what God was doing and the will of God, and obviously was supposed to reflect out from the nine stones that covered his body a reflection of the nature of God, which is the first level of the firestones. But the next level of the firestones is about the protocols of rulership in the kingdom, the statutes and the commandments and the laws and the ordinances and things like that. And Satan looked into that and saw that man was given responsibility for the heavens as well as the earth, and didn't like that they were going to lose their position, and led a third of the angels astray, and that removed a third of the light in the created universe, which is where darkness came from originally. So, yeah, there's a lot more for us to understand and learn and to engage with, and I'm sure we will. You know, I'm sure that that engagement will, as we learn to do the basics, you know, there's no point trying to do things that we're not in a position to administer. And so, you know, if I get a mandate, then I will go to the Court of Angels, and I will look to see which orders or which angels are associated or volunteer for that mandate. Then I can direct them when they're associated with the will of God. You know, and Jesus, of course, had, you know, it said that there was, you know, I don't know, I mean, was it 12 legions of angels that were at his disposal? Well, that's quite a lot. And, of course, if we're co-heirs in the kingdom, then they're also legions of angels that are at our disposal. We've just never really known what to do with them. But now we're learning to access the realms of heaven and the mountains of the realms of heaven and the courts there, then we begin to administer judicial protocol, and therefore the angels are a crucial part of that. They have things to do that we can't do, and therefore particularly in the atmosphere of the earth and in principalities and powers and regions and in those things, you know, there are specific angels assigned to regions, assigned to churches, assigned to towns or nations, that have specific areas of influence. And therefore, we need to work with them because they're working under the auspices of God's purposes and will for a region or an area. But they're looking for our involvement because actually we are the ones who have real authority in that area. To administer it because it belongs to us. And so then we learn, like, you know, Daniel prayed and Michael, the angel, archangel, had to fight with the Prince of Persia in the atmosphere to bring things through from the realm of heaven into this realm, messages or other things. So there was a battle that went on. I think it was Gabriel, and then it says Michael had to come and help him out to get through. So there are things that goes on in the atmosphere of the earth that it's not necessarily our actual job, but it is our job to assign and to direct, and therefore I don't see any issue with directing those that are associated with. Now, you know, I wouldn't go into the Chancellor's Court and the Treasury Room and try ordering Melchizedek around, because he's chief chancellor of that treasury. But when I go with protocol and I trade, or then I can operate within that sphere in the order of Melchizedek, of course, to release the resources of heaven according to that which is assigned to my mandate and my mountain, not according to anything else. You know, I have no authority over your angels. You know, they're yours. You know, you need to find their names and functions and work with them. So again, I think it's religious tradition or restrictions that would say, well, you can't command angels. You don't mess with them in a sense, and you have to treat them with respect, because that they are created beings created by God. And even Michael didn't rebuke Satan. He said, "The Lord rebuke you," and he didn't, even though there was an argument going on. So we have to be careful that we don't act out of protocol and inappropriately. But I don't see there's any real issue once you understand the judicial nature of the governance of the kingdom, then angels are a vital part of outworking that, really. What we know now is only a fraction of what we probably will know going forward, but let's keep learning and keep pressing in, and I'm sure there's going to be more to understand. I've been engaging a little bit recently in the 12 chancellors' courts and the high chancellors there, and just realizing there's a whole lot of things that I don't understand. And of course, you've got the Galactic Council and their function. But I believe that the angelic order on that, and even some of the cloud of witnesses on the angelic council, are because we aren't there. I think it should be made up of each generation. Where David was, it says David served the purpose of God in his generation. And each generation should have those that are taking responsibility at that level. But there aren't many who are doing so. And so that order is made up of others.
Wow. Okay, good. Yeah, you filled in some gaps there. Okay. That was good. You briefly mentioned about the stones of fire, and that was something I was wanting to ask you about as well. Have you you mentioned about the first step and the second step or second stone. Do you have has the Lord showed you what all these different stones are, or?
Well, I've been on them. So yes, I've had some revelation about it. The very first time I went on the Firestones was the very first time I went into heaven. And at that point, when I stepped on those Firestones, there was revelation of the person of God as understood in the seven and the nine fruits of the Spirit. So there are nine Firestones that I've been on personally. There may well be more, but those are the ones that I've personally been on. And they represented an experiential connection to the revelation of the nature of God as expressed by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, so on. When I stepped on them, first when I looked into them, it was like looking at the fabric of creation. It was like a swirling, subatomic vibrating energy of light and fragrance and color and mathematics. When I looked into it, of course, this is the first time I ever went in heaven, so I was just completely thrown. I didn't understand it at all. It's like, oh, wow. And actually, within, how I saw it was a series of steps. And I saw grace and faith being the substance that come together that really activated those. And when I stepped on the first stone, step of love, it was just like I became it. It's like I felt like, it wasn't like I felt being loved. I felt what pure love was. And in essence, God is love. So I was feeling the very nature of God and his heart. And then, and joy and peace and so on. But when I went back, because I didn't go back there, I didn't know how to get back there, really, initially. But since I've engaged in the realms of heaven and then, seen some of where these things are in the realms of heaven in terms of, you have the tabernacle with the Holy of Holies, and you also have the temple mentioned, you also have the sanctuary mentioned, you also have the throne room of God mentioned. They're not the same place. And different things and protocol goes on at different places. But there's another place which, when I went to the river of fire, it says a river of fire flows out from the throne of God. But it's not necessarily the throne of God, as in the throne of God with the four living creatures and the seven lamps. That's not it's not the same place. Well, not in my personal experience. It may, in my encounter with it, it wasn't the same place. And very much related to where we're seated with Christ in the heavens, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so the fire stones were connected to the river of fire, which was flowing from that throne. And that was when I encountered them there. But having done a lot of the mentoring with people, there came a point where I was given a mandate to take people there. Even though I hadn't gone back there myself, when I went back there, I then was sort of saying, oh, well, you step on this stone and you may feel this in terms of love, joy, peace, but I actually started to experience something else. And I started to experience 9 revelatory protocols of the kingdom, which I had revelation of them in the Word. When I had on my sort of 40-day fast originally, I had revelation of these concepts of authority from Psalm 119, first 40 verses. So when I went back onto the firestones, and I assumed that I was just going to have, an ongoing connection, it's like there was a deeper revelation I was experiencing. And I just began to share as I was doing it what I was experiencing. And so that is more about the laws of God, testimonies of God, ways of God, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, ordinances, and wonders. And when I've stepped onto those stones, I did not receive cognitive, intellectual understanding of the meaning of that. Although each of those words has different meaning in Hebrew and has a different nuance in understanding the ways of the kingdom and in governance, in stuff in government, the revelation came to my spirit. It was like the light and the frequency and the formulas of those stones, in terms of sonship, really, in government, went into my spirit and began to draw and direct me in certain areas that I hadn't been before. So I had revelation of the words in the Word, but I hadn't actually stepped and experienced it, and I did. So I've looked to pursue that more recently, because when I was on one of those stones, the one of gentleness, and that's it is a key one, because Jesus said, in Matthew 11, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. Take, my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. So gentleness and humility are key facets of how to rule, because you're ruling under the Father or under the King or under the Lord. You come under that. Because you surrender to it. It's not enforced, but there's a surrendering. Gentleness is, I know my strength and authority and power, but it's totally surrendered only to do the will of the Father. So just like Jesus, he only wanted to do what the Father's will was. So there's an understanding of that. And as I was on that step, I was given a seal, a chancellor's seal, and it was put around my neck. And this seal was like an ornate gold seal with a stone in the middle and 12 segments on it, so it's like, well, what was the significance of that? Well, I went and found out, I went to wisdom, and because wisdom is very much the one who's associated with rulership and teaching us how to rule as kings and princes and nobles and things. So I went and looked for revelation there, and that took me into a different court. It then took me to an understanding of, or at least an initial understanding of, the 12 laws that are coming out of Zion, which is about rulership in the kingdom, as opposed to the 12 laws out of Jerusalem, which is about walking in his ways here. This is about heavenly protocol. So I'm starting to pull together an understanding of heavenly protocol, the 12 laws coming out of Zion, these nine, the other things, because there's obviously three more stones that are associated with us. This also ties in with the nine strands of the DNA of God. When you get on the dance floor and the light of that, there's parallels between what you experience there within your own spirit and heart and what you experience in heaven. And all of these things have got parallel experiences that I've found. And so I began to explore that and look at them. Then and that led me into the court of the councils of the fathers, where I saw the 24 elders and the father. And then that's then led me on into seeing that there are 12 high chancellor's houses that have great big doors that are specific functions. One I knew, which was the treasury room, and Melchizedek being the high chancellor. I didn't know the others, and so wisdom took me and showed me these 12 rooms, and then showed me and introduced me to the 12 chancellors. Now, that's going to take quite a bit of outworking, I think, to understand what the protocols are, what the functions are for those rooms, the chancellor's functions, what my involvement is, because I've been given this seal. What is that about? I'm having to seek God and spend some time there, which is not proving to be that easy because of all the other things I'm trying to do. But it's one of the things I know my spirit is connected to and drawing me to. You know, so there's so much more we don't understand, really. So, you know, and when Satan looked into those firestones, when he stood on them, you know, he was supposed to reflect out, you know, the nine stones, which he obviously stopped doing. So do we get to stand on those stones and then we begin to reflect out? And I think that's part of it. The same way in which Satan as a covering cherub no longer has access to the Holy of Holies to form the ark. And so we come and form an ark for the manifestation of God and his name in that place. So there's a lot that the angels very much were, and some of the orders were there to tutor and train us, like the seven spirits of God, and like the watcher angels. They had a function. Some of them left that function and messed it up. But they had functions in tutorship and governorship in terms of training us and tutoring us into things. And so I think we just have to learn, you know, how to engage. But if they were training us to fulfill some of their roles, then I think that may be something that we have to seek and explore. But I'm, you know, I'm just beginning that process right now, as I go out, you know, and find some of these things. But I'm sure there's a whole load more. So yeah, that's really been my experiences of those firestones. You know, they may well be associated with trading floors, because, you know, Satan fell because of his trade. So he traded knowledge and information that he saw in those firestones and outwards to the angels, and they fell and followed him into rebellion. So there may be a sense of us trading into that as well in the right way and releasing that knowledge out into, you know, the world rather than keeping it. But I'm sure there's going to be so much more that we need to respond to in it, you know. So, yeah, I don't know if that helps there.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. Okay, that brings... I'm definitely have to do some studying on that one. Yeah, that's good. Okay. One other thing that I was wanting to get your input on is the concept of overshadowing, you know, like how the Holy Spirit did it, you know, over the face of the deep, you know, he brooded over the face of the deep, and then you have the, obviously you have the watcher angels that overshadowed women, and that whole race of Nephilim was produced, and then you had Mary who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, or God, I guess, to bring forth Jesus. Can you kind of just give some your insight on what that means? And I know it has something to do with frequency and
yeah, it does have a lot to do with frequency, because, you know, the original Holy Spirit hovering over the waters in recreation was bringing things back into order. And so, you know, everything operates in frequency, and when things vibrate and molecules and atoms vibrate at certain frequency, it brings solidity and it brings energy into matter. It's the process of forming matter out of energy. The original frequencies come from the thoughts of God contained within the heart of God, which he releases in his voice as vibrating energy. That causes things to come together and to exist in form. Now, you know, we see things and we think that's solid. In reality, we know it's not actually solid. We know it's a continual vibrating frequency of particles within atoms that are circling around that keep the whole thing in order. You know, it depends on atomic number and atomic, you know, atomic weight. You know, all that stuff is a function of frequency and vibration, and therefore, if things are vibrating, you know, at a faster frequency or slower frequency, it depends whether they are more or less solid. You know, because it contains the strength between the bonds between the atoms and the molecules. You know, and so that's really all how that works. But in a sense, that hovering is always there to produce cohesion. If you like, things coming together in unity, coming together in harmony, coming together. And so when the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, the sound that was released, or the vibrating energy that was released, began to vibrate things back into order, to draw things together, to produce a recreation event. The next form of overshadowing was when Adam and Eve fell into sin, and the overshadowing that Satan brought there, which produced the seed of Cain and the serpent's seed. Now, you know, people have various views into what that literally means, what it actually meant. You know, was it to do with DNA and DNA sequencing? Because, you know, the whole Russian scientists found that you can resequence DNA by using certain frequencies, certain words and frequencies contained within light. You know, and they use lasers and contain information on that, which is frequencies, which actually resequences DNA. And yet you can actually bring healing into some DNA. And they have healing frequencies. 528 hertz is like a healing frequency. And it's known to have healing properties, because it brings things back into an alignment. There's lots of things around that. You know, some people teach that actually it was physical procreation and there was actual sexual contact. You know, and you know, there are, you know, they teach that, and they have some Hebrew illustrations of that within the words that are spoken. But whatever happened, it created a seed, which came as Cain. So whether that was implanted into Eve, in some way that Cain and Abel were twins. You can have twins from different fathers. With, you know, it's a phenomenon which does happen naturally. Whatever happened, there was a production of a seed. So in Genesis 3:15, you have God talking about the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. And Jesus obviously talks about to the Pharisees about you being of your father, the devil. Now, what did he mean? Were they carrying serpent seed? And that's, you know, a lot of things that are out there about that. And some of it's, you know, pretty wild and wacky and, you know, pretty conspiracy theorist and David Icke and things like that. But it doesn't mean that there isn't an element of truth there somewhere, because we know that there was that seed was going to look to stop the seed of woman being produced. And then, of course, you do have the Nephilim and them taking women as wives. Now, you know, what did they take women as physical wives, or did they use the knowledge they had as watcher angels to manipulate DNA? Well, they also formed with animals and with other things, of course. It wasn't just with humans that they began to experiment. So there's a lot of DNA, you could say, manipulation. You know, you have Satan with the first manipulation of DNA, looking to produce dinosaurs that would be after his kind in terms of seed. So there's a lot of things there about overshadowing, what happens. Well, it is a vibrating frequency that resequences DNA to produce something which it wasn't originally intended. And of course, you then have the question, you know, in all the Nephilim, were they human? Did they have a human spirit? Personally, I don't think those pure Nephilim spirits did. And those that were so polluted that the thoughts of their hearts were continually evil and violent, God brought the flood to destroy so that they wouldn't produce. So you have a lot of questions and things which, you know, there's a lot of theories about in reality, but I do believe that the purpose was always seed wars. It was always about stopping Jesus coming, because he was going to crush the serpent's head. You know, so that was the first prophecy. And of course, the enemy all along has tried to contend with the seed. Let's pollute the seed. And if we can't do it by genetically doing it, let's implant iniquity and idolatry, which will pollute the seed. Now, I think in the transformation series, I go into this a little bit in terms of potential genetic things and how this is still in circulation today, in that we know Noah was pure because he was righteous in his generation. We don't know about Mrs. Noah, whether she was pure or not. We don't know about, therefore, the children. Genetically, if Mrs. Noah was not pure totally, then she could have passed on in her part of the genes certain genetic material, which could have been seed of serpent seed, it could have been angelic seed in terms of Nephilim, it could also have been angelic animal seed, because there was obviously a mixture of angelic and animal and different things. So there's potential for various material to be in our DNA, which is not entirely pure. Now, it isn't at such a level that we have no human spirit, because those that fell before the flood, I believe, became the disembodied spirits that roam the earth, and we call them demons. I don't believe demons were fallen angels. Fallen angels were fallen angels. They have a hierarchy, they have a structure, so they have the principalities and powers, and you know, principalities are really just areas that certain things rule. So they're not technically a class of angels. There are rulers and different types of angelic being, and just as much as there's orders of angels, there's obviously orders in the realm of the enemy, because a third of the angels fell. And so there are different types of fallen angel. So I believe that those who are restricted to the earth, because that's what happens when it says, you know, when you cast out a demon, what happens to it? It wanders around waste places looking for someone to inhabit. They look to express personality through people because they do not have bodies to express it through themselves. But they're confined to the earth, where actually principalities and powers and all those sort of demonic forces are not confined to the earth. They operate in the atmosphere of the earth and in the realm, in the kingdom of God. And it's our realm to exclude them from the kingdom of God, to expel, bring light so that there's no darkness. And, you know, so you have dragons and giants and the different ogres and different types of things that operate in spheres of authority in the heavens. Yeah, as a result of Satan's desire to rule and to stop us ruling. So, you know, a lot of things there. What happened with overshadowing, definitely a vibration, which I believe dealt with DNA. And then when you had Mary overshadowed, that overshadowing again brought an implantation of pure seed. You know, I think some people seem to think, oh, well, it must be God and Mary who together produced some sort of thing. It wasn't. There was an implanted seed into Mary that she carried. She did not give her genes to that seed. If she did, they would have been impure. So it was an implantation of God's DNA into a person, and Jesus was born in human form. You know, I'm not privy to totally how that happened, but it happened. We know that Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin, and he was born pure without sin. And so he had no pollution. And he said, of course, yeah, the enemy has nothing in me, you know. He had no genealogy because he was of the order of Melchizedek, of course, you know. So he did not have human genealogy, although the genealogy of Joseph and Mary were for prophetic fulfillment of where the seed or the Messiah or the Christ would come. And so you obviously have history there that leads back to David, and you have history that leads back to Abraham, ultimately back to Adam. You know, so that shows that Jesus was born like the second Adam. And so he took on that human form so that he could identify with us, and therefore bring back creation and the keys of death and hell back from what the first man had done, given them away, took them back and took authority back, and therefore now all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. You know, so we now have access to that authority because we're now co-heirs with him. So when I step around the ark of the presence of God, I am looking to vibrate and resonate with the frequency of the will of God, because it's a resonant, vibrating frequency. That when a greater frequency meets a lesser frequency, the lesser frequency comes into alignment and harmony, if you like, with it, and I vibrate. So I see when God releases his will, that is a frequency that I can draw near to and then begin to vibrate with, and therefore then that will then align me to it. So that, in a sense, is a form of coming into the presence of God, so that I'm coming into alignment with his will and purpose for my life. There's a lot of things in there. How much of it do we need to totally understand? You know, we can get caught up in trying to understand the ins and outs of it, when really we just need to understand the principles of it so that we're aware and functioning around it, so that we're aware of what goes on. Now, I know there's a whole load of things about Nephilim and the return of the Nephilim and things like that. It's, they never left, really, in a sense, because they still had influence within man. But, you know, there may well be genetic harvesting and genetic stuff that is still going on. I know Ian teaches about the greys and the dimensional beings, because, you know, there's more dimensions than most people have seen, that do have some issue over DNA and the desire to rule. Where, you know, that was the issue originally. You know, it was God's desire that man would rule. And everything is about seeking government and authority and power. You know, because that's what a kingdom is. You know, it's a system of government. You know, the basilia, you know, it wasn't talking about a physical place as much as the reign of the king, the rule or the government of the king. In Isaiah, there will be no end to the increase of his government and rule. And so it's all about kingdom. And I know people get caught up in, oh, it's all about this. But, you know, there's relationship and intimacy and priesthood and the wonder of identity and knowing God and knowing him and knowing us in him, being in him and him being us, all wondrous and, you know, bringing identity of our sonship, but actually there is also the responsibility to rule as sons, which is what Jesus was as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay. We don't. I was hoping maybe we could have a little activation, but I don't know. We probably don't have enough time for that. But I did want to tell you about a cool encounter I had. I think it's pretty prophetic about what's happening. My wife and I have been practicing going to heaven and just, you know, letting the Lord lead us and learn about it, learn the protocols and everything. And a couple of weeks ago, we got ushered into a large arena. Jesus led us there, and there was a bunch of activity. It was like they were getting ready for some big event. And I was up way up high, like in the bleachers or in the stadium, looking down at this platform down in the middle, and a lot of activity, angelic activity, creatures, beings, and I saw these like garments or like, you know, like in a graduation when they put the sashes on people, you know, it, to distinguish what level you graduated from. I saw those kinds of things and mantles being brought out onto the stage. And I was told that wisdom was going to be giving a speech or you know, was going to present something to a whole company, which was going to, like, heaven was going to be there gathered, and wisdom was going to present something. And what she was going to be presenting was, she was going to let everybody in heaven know what she had been doing, which was how she had been mentoring certain ones, you know, in the realm of earth on the protocols of heaven and how to come into heaven and how to learn all this stuff. And it was like it was going to be a release that more of that was going to be happening, and that more of heaven was going to get engaged in that, in this, you know, it was going to be kind of like a time came that, okay, now wisdom is presenting this and saying, this is what I've been doing, now everybody's released to begin doing this as well, because this is a season we're coming into. And I was like, wow, that is pretty... That's pretty intense. I mean, that's kind of like your thing where you saw the world spinning and then stopped and started going back, and the benches of three all over the place. Like, God, there's something we're coming into here where the stuff we're learning and being taught about is going to be much more widespread and released in a much greater way from heaven. I mean, what do you think about that? I was really taken back by that. That the scope of it just seems so huge.
Absolutely. I think this ties in with the judgment of God coming to the household of God. Because a lot of people tie judgment with punishment, and it's nothing to do with punishment. God is coming to basically begin to align with the Joshua generation and the Moses generation. The glory is going to leave, even though it's been done amazing things and amazing miracles and signs and wonders, because God is calling us to move on to a new level of authority and protocol in the realms of heaven rather than being stewards on the earth. You know, we become lords in the heavens. And I think, yeah, absolutely right. This is what the preparation for, to raise up, be lifted up, O you heads, you know. And so this is what wisdom does. Proverbs 8, she's about teaching kings and princes and nobles to rule. So absolutely. And I think I'm not saying that the whole world will come under the same thing initially, but those who are in a position to hear will, and there's going to be choices to be made of a willingness to embrace the new order of Melchizedek. And that's really what it is. It's basically saying, this is the new order. Are you going to become one of after the order of Melchizedek with no genealogy? You're not going to use your old things. We're coming into a new realm, a new dimension. Our inheritance is not going to be the wilderness, but it's going to be the promised land, the fullness of that promise. So that choice is going to be given to people, you know. And I think the first people get that choice are the people who are operating in miracles, signs and wonders and stuff, but they've got a choice of whether they're willing to let that go to, not that it won't be signs and wonders, but actually as the focus, you know, those really who are operating in fivefold ministry, because that order is coming to an end. And there's a new order set up. And that new order is about everybody having their inheritance, not just those who are to equip. Because, and I don't want to label all fivefold ministries in the same way, because many are embracing things. But many also have reputation and big ministries and big financial things. That the challenge to move on and to is a big one. And of course, many, rather than mentoring or discipling or equipping the body to serve, have just replaced the body and do it all for people. So people have come dependent on the prophet to bring the prophetic word. Well, the prophet should be saying, go and hear God for yourself. The apostle bringing all the truth. Well, you know, the reality is we all can engage with mandates for our own lives and our own things. So, you know, and this being under the covering of, rather than being supported by, is coming to an end. You know, all these coverings and be part of my apostolic stream and send me money and all that stuff. And I know Ian has taught this a lot, and he's quite animated about it, and is, you know, but I know it is true, and I, you know, I've seen it, and you know, because it's all about reintroducing the mediatorial system. You know, that's what it was always about, that mediatorial system. And actually now there is no mediator other than one who's already in heaven that says, come up here, you know. So I think that old order is coming to an end, and I think this thing of wisdom is speech is about this new order of heavenly authority, so we can embrace it and move to it and take our inheritance. You know, and it's like that speech maybe, and the line that's drawn may be the River Jordan, illustratively. Are people going to cross, or are people going to stay behind? and stay in the wilderness. And that's the choice I think we're going to be given. And I think this is what you've been seeing. So it's pretty good. Awesome, really. So yeah.
Okay, well, cool.
Okie dokie.
All right, well, thanks again, Mike. We really appreciate it.
It's okay, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, yeah, it's no problem. Yeah, we're in interesting days, you know, and I think things like that, it's awesome, you know, but you've practiced and you stepped in and you kept going with it. Yeah, so, you know, and I think God is honoring you for that. Yeah, because you've been faithful and he's taking you to different levels. And I think what he's doing in terms of pulling people together and drawing people to what's going on, you know, it's because of your willingness and your desire and your hunger and your pursuit. And God's honoring that and blessing you with that, you know. So, you know, he's taking you, showing you what he's doing with you as well as everybody else. You know, he's taking you into that new level of authority and power. So
cool. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So are you good for next week or?